What was the significance of Galadriel's gifts to the Fellowship? They were hand-picked and chosen with the benefit of Galadriel's foresight. So, why those gifts? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel we cover Tolkien's Legendarium in full, as well as other great fantasy worlds like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. If you're new here, welcome. The Fellowship's time in Lothlórien was a necessary period of recuperation after the rigours of Moria and Gandalf's fall, but they all knew that what was to come would be even more arduous. To aid them on their path, the elves gave them gifts, some for the Fellowship as a whole, and others were more personal. All were useful, and not just in a, well, that'll come in handy way. They each showed themselves to be the result of Galadriel's foresight as to exactly what the Fellowship would need, and were magical in a way that perhaps defies description. First, we have the three boats. These were probably the most straightforward of the gifts. They allowed the Fellowship to paddle their way down the Anduin River as far as the Rhodos waterfall. But these were more than just a transport option. The Fellowship had been expecting to hike on foot from Lórien. The night before they left, they were even still debating whether to do so on the eastern or western banks of the river, a big decision, as Boromir was set on returning to Minas Tirith on the west of the river, and Mordor and Mount Doom were on the east of the river. Giving the Fellowship boats allowed Aragorn to delay that decision for several days, and also kept them ahead of the band of Uruk-hai from Isengard that were hunting them at the time without them knowing it. The boats were grey, steered with paddles shaped like leaves, and light enough that Aragorn thought it possible to carry them and re-embark in the river south of the falls. On them was a virtue to not sink, either from rough waters or taking on too much draught. Boromir's funerary boat survived unscathed the mighty waterfall of Rhodos, and without anyone to steer it, sailed itself down the entirety of the Anduin and out into the sea, granting him the honour his death deserved. Waiting within the boats was the next gift, three grey ropes, each long and thin but strong, and silken to the touch. They were made from hithlane, spun from the fibres of Malontri's bark. Knots tied with them were as tight or as loose as needs demanded, as evidenced by Sam and Frodo's descent into a crevasse in the Emyn Muil. It bore their weight as they climbed down, but came completely loose at a pull. Again, magical and extremely useful at a critical point in the Ringbearer's path. Then we have the elven cloaks given to all the members of the Fellowship. These were nice cloaks capable of keeping the wearer warm in cold climates and cool in the heat, but their biggest advantage was that they provided magical camouflage. They would appear brown and green in the forest or dark grey at dusk, whatever was most able to camouflage the wearer. Even in daylight amid the rolling hills of Rohan, the riders of the Riddermark did not perceive Aragorn, Gimli and Legolas passing them by, despite the three making no attempt to hide. Impressive stuff. These cloaks were clasped together by brooches fashioned like beech leaves, verdant but veined with silver. As the Uruks were trafficking him to Isengard, Pippin managed to plant his brooch in the ground beside the Orcs' columns so that someone tracking their trail would come across the clue. Aragorn recognised it immediately and gained heart that they were on the right track. Not likely do the leaves of Lórien fall. The last but perhaps most significant gift given to the whole Fellowship was Lembas, elven waybread. I did a whole other video on that if you're interested. Suffice it to say that without its physical and spiritual, for want of a better word, nourishment, Frodo and Sam would never have made it to Mount Doom. So those were the gifts given to the Fellowship as a whole. The boats, ropes, cloaks, brooches and Lembas. All really useful. In addition to this, Galadriel gave each member of the Fellowship a personal gift from her. To Boromir, she gave a belt of gold. It's easy to see this as just a random gift, but again I think there is foresight here. It's not something that would be useful on a stealth mission, like the rest of the Fellowship was soon to undertake, but it is something that adds finery to a funeral costume. Elsewise, Boromir's body would be put on that boat in his travel leathers and armour, and it helped confirm the truth of Frodo's story for Faramir and allowed him to grieve for his dead brother. Merry and Pippin similarly got small silver belts, each with a clasp wrought like a flower. Although, to be honest, they're probably the least noteworthy of the gifts. I'm sure they were lovely, though. Legolas, however, got a new bow and a quiver full of arrows. The bow was strung with elf hair, and it was clearly much better than the one he previously had. It came in useful very soon, not just in his epic contributions at Helm's Deep and the Pelennor Fields, but also, when they were still only a few days out of Lothlorien, shooting down out of the sky a descending fell beast ridden by one of the Nazgul. It was a shot praised by the rest of the Fellowship, and if he'd missed, the stealth mission would have been in grave danger. Gimli's gift was three hairs from Galadriel's head. There are many layers of meaning to this, going deep into Tolkien's legendarium, and it's clear that Gimli treasured it above any other possible gift. Perhaps I'll do a separate video on that someday, but for now let's recognise it for what it is at base, a favour granted by a noble lady to her champion. Gimli was taking on the role of a knight, upholding her honour as he went on a valiant quest. If you're getting images of Arthurian knights at this point, you're not far off. Aragorn was not a stranger to Galadriel. Indeed, he was engaged to her granddaughter, so his two gifts were similarly personal. The first was a sheath for the sword Andúril, freshly reforged from the shards of Narsil, which prevented it from becoming stained or broken in battle. Remember, the last time Narsil was used against Sauron, it broke. Galadriel was ensuring that this wouldn't happen this time. Second, Galadriel gave Aragorn a wedding present in anticipation of his nuptials to her granddaughter Arwen. In Noldorin culture, this was customarily a jewel upon a chain or collar, but the jewel given to Aragorn was far from customary. This was the Elessar, meaning elf stone, a great stone of a clear green set in a silver brooch that was wrought in the likeness of an eagle with outspread wings. Upon putting it on, scales fell from the Fellowship's eyes, and they saw for the first time the weather-worn ranger as tall and kingly. The Elessar had been made by Celebrimbor, one of his greatest works. Someone who peered through it would see burnt or broken things as they were before being destroyed, and whoever held it had the power to undo such damage and beautify the land around them. With it, perhaps Galadriel could have kept Lothlorien from decay for a while longer, even after the One Ring was destroyed and her own ring had lost its power. Gifting the Elessar to Aragorn was a sacrifice on her part, but also a vote of confidence. This was a wedding gift, although she knew Elrond wouldn't allow the wedding to happen until Aragorn was the recognised ruler of Arnor and Gondor, and that would only happen if the Fellowship won. To Sam, she gifted a grey box containing a single seed and some soil from her orchard, with her blessing upon both. Following the scouring of the Shire, Sam planted saplings in the same spots where many of the most beautiful and beloved trees had been felled, placing a single grain of Galadriel's dust in the dirt with each. Where the tree in the party field in front of Bag End once was, he planted the silver seed, which sprouted swiftly into a mallorn tree, the only one in the world outside of Lothlorien. Through Galadriel's gift and Sam's labour, by springtime the Shire was more beautiful than ever before, opposite to Lorien's fate, as Galadriel foresaw. "Then you may," she says, "catch a glimpse of far-off Lothlorien that you have only seen in our winter. For our spring and our summer are gone by, and they will never be seen on earth again, save in memory." She entrusted to Sam, the humblest member of the Fellowship, the memory and blessing of her own land. It would fade, and she would head west, but she trusted Sam to keep that echo alive in Middle-earth. Finally, we have perhaps the greatest and most well-known of the gifts, the File of Galadriel, given to Frodo. Like the gifts given to Gimli and Aragorn, the significance of this has its roots deep in Tolkien's legendarium. In this starglass was caught the light of Eärendil's star, whose shining is the light of the last Silmaril set upon his brow, and in that, the last light of the two trees of Valinor. Galadriel offered it as a light to you in dark places when all other lights go out. But it's not some simple magical flashlight or torch, for this is holy light. Unlike the stained light of the sun and the moon, this light is unfallen and uncorrupted. As such, like the light in the Silmarils and the two trees before them, it was a blessing to good and a bane to evil creatures. When Sam faced off against the spidery Shelob, we're told, "The beam of it entered into her wounded head and scored it with unbearable pain, and the dreadful infection of light spread from eye to eye." There is an echo here that Tolkien will want us to know. The reason why this light is the last of the light from the two trees is because those holy trees were destroyed by Morgoth, Sauron's old master, and Ungoliant, Shelob's mother. That Sam used the last of this same light to vanquish Shelob and allow them to carry on to vanquish Sauron is no mere coincidence. The defeat of Sauron was not just achieved by the Fellowship. It was the last act of millennia of opposition by people like Galadriel. Galadriel's gifts were eminently practical. The rope, the cloaks and the lembas, for example, and they often had an unexpected utility, without which the quest could not be accomplished. But above all, they were expressions of Galadriel's beauty and purity and hope. They had a value which far surpassed their usefulness in war or on a secret mission. Gimli's gift was one of pure love in the chivalric sense. The elf stone given to Aragorn welcomed him to the family and showed him and others glimpses of the world as it should be. The file of Galadriel gave hope and light in the darkest of places, and Sam's box of dirt and a single seed from Lorien, she didn't need to give Sam that gift then. She would see him again a couple of times after Mount Doom, but in carrying that box deep into Mordor and back, he carried her hope and promise of a restored world with him, a hope and a promise that she knew that he would deliver on. If you'd like to see more videos like this diving deep into Tolkien's Legendarium, there's a playlist appearing now on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel on our journey, thank you. There's a button on the right of your screen to help you do that. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.